You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 33 of
Kyle. Knockouts and Three Counts.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's been a while since I've been here, man. This place looks foreign to me right now.
It's because Devin doesn't love us anymore.
Yeah, fuck you guys. But right now it's me and Kyle rolling. I guess it's the original two, man.
Yeah, no, right?
Man, it's been a while since it's been you and me in the studio. Tony might call in, but we'll see. But Kyle, why don't you go ahead and throw out your social media and all that good stuff, and then we'll jump into the topics for today.
You can find me on social media, on Instagram and Twitter, at Detroit Knockout, at Detroit, N-O-K-O-U-T. Find me on Facebook, at Kyle Collison. I'll add you. And follow us at Knockouts and Three Counts Podcast on Facebook, at KO3CPod on Twitter. Check us out on our website, KO3CPod.com. Yeah.
And you can hit me up on Twitter at Devin63. That's DevinThE63. You can hit me up on Instagram at All Steak No Sizzle. That's one word. Hey, if you're looking for a car, check out SouthfieldQualityCars.com. Once you go in to make your purchase, after looking at their inventory on the website, go in and use the reference number 19309. That's 19309.
1939.
No, 19309. And you
1939. He was right the first time.
Whatever. And you will receive $500 off on your purchase of a new vehicle. All right.
What is a vehicle?
A vehicle? It's almost like an automobile, but vehicular.
I don't know of what you speak. You speak foreign language.
Oh. Yeah, I speak Devin. But so we've had a pretty busy week, man.
Yeah, life can fuck off right now.
Yeah, I agree, man. Work, life, all that good shit. But I thought we would start off talking a little bit UFC. We haven't really talked a lot of UFC lately. UFC, quite honestly, has been kind of up and down over the past pretty much this year. UFC 224 was this weekend. We went to Buffalo Wild Wings and watched that. But before we jump into that, did you hear about the new television deal that they just signed with ESPN?
Yeah, I did.
So you got any initial thoughts on that?
I don't really know that it'll be much different than Fox. I mean, if they signed on the same kind of terms to where they were. If they signed on the same kind of terms to what they were with Fox, I mean, I don't really see it being different.
It's a little bit different.
What's the big difference?
Well, ESPN, I'm not sure how long it's been out, but they have a streaming service called ESPN Plus, and it's a subscription service. It's $4.99 a month. Right now, the only thing that I know that's on there is Kobe Bryant has a show called Details where he like breaks down film and stuff like that. But I guess they're trying to get more content for that subscription service.
So you think that might take over Fight Pass?
Pretty much. Like they're going to do 15 events that's going to be on ESPN Plus. And so in order to watch these fights, you're going to have to sign up for ESPN Plus.
That's what I was going to say. I could see them doing more where they do some of those fights maybe on ESPN Plus, but I think they'll still keep Fight Pass for the library and all that kind of shit,
too. Well, that's the weird thing. The library is going to be on ESPN Plus, too. So basically, it makes Fight Pass almost obsolete.
But to me, that's kind of – I feel like that's kind of dumb because then what happens when your contract is up with ESPN and then what?
Well, I'm pretty sure that they're going to figure something out with Fight Pass. They probably have some Fight Pass exclusive fights. But, I mean, I'll be honest with you, man. I have not watched a lot of UFC this year. I mean –
I haven't either, to be honest, and it's crazy for me to say that because I'm an avid MMA fan, man. But
yeah,
I just I don't know, man. It just, they haven't had too many fights that have really made me like, well, damn, that's something I want to watch. Like,
and like part of the problem, I think, too, is that I feel like it's too many fights.
I've said that for a long time.
You know, you got the FS1 fights. You have the big fights on Fox. You got a Fight Pass exclusive one. And you basically have like 12 to 14 pay-per-views every year. So with it being so many fights, I felt like it kind of got oversaturated. But what I'm – wait, do we have a call in?
It took long enough to answer that shit.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Tony.
Did you hang up on the phone? Did you really? Man, we're off to a bang up start.
Oh man, this thing goes along with the clusterfuck of a week we've had.
He'll call back in a second. Is he back?
That's what happens when you talk shit to producer Randy. You get cut off the air. Did y'all give out y'all social media?
We gave out ours. Why don't you give out yours, sir?
Man, I'm Tony Thunder. That's it.
That was anticlimactic.
Yeah, man. Producer Randy, did you give out your social media?
No.
You can follow Randy at HangUpOnThunder at Twitter. HangUp_Thunder on Instagram. And yeah.
Man. Go ahead though, your social media.
You can get a car?
Huh?
Yes. Okay. Yes, you don't get to interrupt with the
can
promo
get a
code.
Ring, even though Merle don't listen to the show like he said he do. RentAWrestlingRing.com, is it your bar mitzvah? Is it your birthday? Is it your parents' birthday? Is it Mother's Day? Is it Father's Day? Is it the 4th of July? You want to wrestle the ring? You want some people? You want to see some people dropkick each other? RentAWrestlingRing.com.
All right.
Yeah.
Go ahead, throw your real social media out there, sir.
At TheTonyThunder on Twitter. I'm Tony Thunder on Facebook. I'm Tony_Thunder on Instagram. I'm Tony_Thunder on Snapchat, even though I'm never on there. And, yeah, that's it, man.
All right. You got any shows coming up you need to plug, man?
Man, this Saturday, if you believe in God and God is on my side, I will be in Phoenix, Arizona. Ooh. At Club Deporto Calypso in Phoenix, Arizona, doing some lucha stuff, flipping. I'm going to do a cartwheel, and then I'm going to leg drop somebody. That's the best flip move I got.
That's all the flippy shit you got, man?
That's the flippy shit I got. Cartwheels and leg drops.
So then he wouldn't piss off Cornette then?
No.
Man.
That's going to be my new gimmick. I'm going to just start doing cartwheels and like baby rolls before all my moves.
That might work out for you, man. Let me
call myself the Flippy Doo guy.
The what?
The Flippy
Tony Flippy Doo Thunder.
All right, let's get back on task here. We talking a little bit of UFC first, man. Hey Tony, when's the last time you watched a UFC fight, man?
The last time I watched a UFC fight live?
Just in general.
Oh man. I mean, I catch, like, playbacks here and there, but the last time I've been invested into UFC has been a while, man. It's been, like, maybe 2015.
Oh.
16. All yeah. Right.
So it's not just us, man.
To me, that was the best era. Like, you had, well, I'll say, to me, my favorite era of UFC was 2006 till about 2015. You know, when you had guys like Lyoto Machida and John Jones was young. You had Silva kicking ass. You had Forrest Griffin out there still fresh. You had Uriah Hall had promise. You had, you know what I mean, Cal Sonnen. You had GSP. You had, you know, guys at the top of their game who really made the company UFC what it was, you know.
All right. And, so in other words.
That's when I was most invested into it.
So in other words, like we've been saying for a while back when the UFC actually had some stars other than Ronda Rousey and Conor McGregor.
Pretty much. Yeah.
I mean, I'm
like,
sorry.
They don't have that star power anymore. I mean, I like Francis Ngannou, whatever his name is. That dude, he beats ass. He's a big motherfucker. He beats ass.
Except he got derailed. That's the problem. Everybody they've tried to build ends up getting their ass whooped.
Right.
Yeah. Because there's so much competition. Like, you can't really build a star, you know what I mean, if he's going to lose to the next guy who nobody knows who he is.
yeah, we were kind of talking about a little bit about the new TV deal and kind of like what's, well, especially with me and Kyle, and me and Kyle are probably the two more rabid UFC MMA fans, and even we haven't been watching it lately, man. It's just been kind of, you know, blah.
It's just, well, it's just too many, like you were saying before Tony came on the line, man. It's just like, you've, like, we watched the fights after what we were doing on Saturday, which we'll get into that in a little bit, but we went out and watched the fight Saturday. Okay, decent card. But we're not even 2 days away from that, and Dana White's already posted, fight week. There's another fucking fight this weekend. It's like, hot damn, guy, you got to fight every weekend. You're getting to be like the local promotions and shit. There's like no hype to any of the fights.
Right.
Who gives a fuck?
Well, see, they're trying to get more into making it like, I guess, football or basketball, but they have no seasons. It's just a continuous year-long thing, and I think that's the issue. You know, back, like I said, back in the good days, as I call them, of UFC, you probably had one every 2 months, every other month, you know. If it was once a month, it was like, oh, man, this fight's coming. You know, I'm ready for it. Right. Now there's one every weekend. It's like, who's this guy?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Completely agreed. I mean, like, in the era you were talking about, I mean, like, look at it this way. Back when, I'll even go maybe, well, it would have been around that time, like right around 2006. Back when Chuck Liddell and them were fighting. Okay, 1 month you'd have Chuck Liddell versus Randy Couture. Then another month or 2 months later you'd have fucking Tim Sylvia versus Andre Arlovsky or whatever.
Right.
Like, there was build-up to these fights. Like, if you just run a fight every weekend, like, it,
well, I mean, I think it's not the WWE. You know, I mean, of course you want to build up for your big fights, but if you're trying to make it a sport where people just watch every week and start to know names, you can't really have a build-up. I mean, nobody is building up the every week of every Lions game. You're a Lions fan, you watch the Lions, you know what I mean? But it's not like, oh, next week you're going to see the Detroit Lions take on the Dallas Cowboys and the winner make it a chance at the Super Bowl if they win every other game this season.
Right.
I agree with that. Like I say, I guess just for me, I just feel like with there being, like Devin was talking about, with there being so many of them, I think you kind of get to a point where you start burning people out. Where, like, if you compare that to something like, I don't know, we'll just use WWE as an example. Like, you know, they've got, you know, not that you can't have this with MMA, but I'm just saying this is why, like, WWE not having any sort of off season or anything works, because there's, like, a story and shit. UFC can't have a story, but when you have so many fights, people, and there's no stars built, people are like, well, fuck it. I don't know who the fuck that is, so why do I, you know, why do I give?
Well, how do you really build stars in this era of UFC? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's kind of the question right now, man. We've talked about it before. Ronda Rousey's not wrestling. Anderson Silva suspended for 2 years. John Jones, who knows what's going on with him? Conor McGregor, who knows when the next time he'll jump into a fight? In the actual cage, not a, you know, in parking lots and throwing stuff at buses, but I've been saying for the longest they have a problem building stars. Even when they had these people running hot, they basically focused everything on them and didn't start, you know, pushing younger talent. And when they did push younger talent, they would basically, you know, get their legs chopped away from them. That's the thing.
That's the thing. What do you call pushing younger talent in something like UFC?
Perfect example.
I mean, like, what is pushing?
Perfect example. Amanda Nunez, who just fought this weekend, she was the second person that beat Ronda Rousey, Ronda Rousey's last fight. If you looked at the buildup for that fight, you would not have known that Amanda Nunez was even fighting in that fight. It was basically all Ronda Rousey. They had, what's the name of the show that they do?
The Countdown?
Yeah, the Countdown show. If that show was 40 minutes, if it was an hour long, about 45 of that was all Ronda Rousey talk. Not, you know, talking about her opponent, how she has a chance to win this fight. It was just all Ronda Rousey. And you had an opportunity there to let people know who Amanda Nunez is. I mean, she's from Brazil. Right. She speaks pretty good English. Not the greatest, but she speaks pretty good English. You got an opportunity to build up the next star, but basically you give her like 15 minutes. And thing is, she was the champion. So Stuff like that. Those small things. Mighty Mouse Johnson.
They don't never, like, when he fights, man, they don't never hype his shit up. And the guy ain't lost in how many fucking years.
I mean, they hype up Mighty Mouse. I mean, I haven't never seen Mighty Mouse lose a fight. I don't know if he has lost a fight, because, like I said, I haven't watched recently. But Mighty Mouse was a beast, man. That motherfucker, I mean.
Right.
So UFC fans and fans who watch, they should know who he is. When it comes to panning to UFC audiences, they should know who Mighty Mouse is. I mean, they haven't made him a star, per se. They haven't said, hey, this is the greatest pound-for-pound fighter we have right now. Invest into him and, you know, that kind of stuff. But dude's a beast. He goes just as hard and fast in the fifth round as he does the first.
Well, but you're talking about his skill. But here's the thing. Mighty Mouse is huge in the video game community. He has one of the biggest Twitch pages out there. But the UFC doesn't use that to help, you know, promote him. Like, if I had Mighty Mouse Johnson and he's like this big guy in the video game community, why are you not having him, you know, whenever they have UFC Fight Week? Why are you not having a video game tournament sponsored with, you know, Mighty Mouse Johnson there, you know, bringing fans in and stuff like that? The opportunities are there.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. And like I said, I mean, UFC fans should know who Mighty Mouse is. I mean, I'm not even really a UFC fan anymore, but I know who Mighty Mouse is. You know, one of my favorite fights in UFC history is him against Dodson. You know, that
was a great fight.
That fight was crazy.
I agree. I don't know, man.
I think the biggest thing, and I can agree with you on this, Devin, and I think, Tony, you would agree too. Like, I think one of the biggest issues UFC has right now is, like, yeah, it's a lot different in trying to push somebody in a sport like this as opposed to, you know, WWE or something like that. But UFC needs to make a concerted effort to try to build some names outside of Ronda Rousey, Jon Jones, and Conor McGregor.
But see, here's the thing. Like, the guys who, the names and the stars that you're naming right now are guys and women who was undefeated, who was beaten ass, who had that star power. I mean, when you build a person up as being the baddest fighter, you know, if they can't keep that star power themselves after a loss, they can't do it. I mean,
what about the Diaz brothers, though?
The Diaz brothers, they don't care to talk. They don't want to be stars. When you see them in interviews, they get up and walk off. They're like, yeah, I'm here to fight. That's it. They love fighting. They have that fighting star power, but they don't like to keep that star power. You don't see them, you know, on red carpet events. You don't see them hyping up their own fights like McGregor. You don't see them, you know, undefeated like that. A great another example would be Cowboy Cerrone.
Yeah.
You know, he was building his name, and then he just lost. It seems like every time Cowboy is about to be a star, he loses. And
yeah,
it's
right.
Like,
yeah,
pulled right from under him. Because, like, how can you get behind that guy when every time his momentum gets up there, he drops the ball?
And you know what, Tony? Something else you brought up, too. A lot of this is on the fighters as well. Take a guy like Chael Sonnen. Chael Sonnen, he was a good fighter. Well, he is a good fighter, but I'm not going to say he was the best. But people knew
he was good at talking shit.
Yeah, he was able to talk people into a building. He talked himself into multiple championship fights with the likes of Anderson Silva and John Jones, all because he and a lot of it came because he was a big wrestling fan. He actually like trained in wrestling at the Power Plant back in the day from WCW. So he was able to translate the skills that he learned, you know, cutting promos to, you know, the UFC. And Daniel Cormier is another guy that's kind of into wrestling that kind of does the same thing. Conor McGregor probably, in my opinion, the big reason why he was such a star is because he knew how to talk people into a building. So,
well, I agree completely with him because, quite frankly, when he fought Jose Aldo, there really wasn't a reason for it. The first time they fought, there was no point for – he talked his way into that fight. there were other people that should have had
that
fight. And
that's what he's good for.
I agree, and that's what I'm saying. He was good for that.
When Chow loses and he still talks, it's like, oh, man, I got to see him fight again. He's talking too much shit. Like, when he lost to Bone Jones, he was still in the ring talking shit.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
When McGregor loses, he still talks shit. That's what Ali was good for. Ali to lose the fight, I'm still prettier than that gorilla-looking goon, and you see me next time, I'm going to punch his lights out. And, you know, it's like, damn, like, this motherfucker don't quit. Like, what the fuck? That's that star power, man. Most fighters don't have that star celebrity trait, star power, or that charisma. Like, a lot of fighters lack charisma in the UFC, and I don't know if you guys agree with me on that or not.
I agree completely.
That seems to be a missing element in fighters.
Man. Well, hey, Tony, before you jumped on the line, we were talking about the new TV deal. Did you hear anything about the details of that?
I haven't.
Well, they just signed the deal with ESPN. They're going to do 15.
Oh!
Wait, but
that's huge.
It is, but there's a caveat. So it's not going to be on ESPN. It's going to be on the ESPN streaming service, ESPN Plus. And the streaming service is $4.99 a month. And basically, to watch the fights, you're going to have to sign up for the streaming service. And you're going to get the UFC fight library as well. The Contender Series is going to be on there as well. So basically, it's going to replace UFC Fight Pass, which I haven't had in about 2 years. And it's about $5 cheaper than the UFC Fight Pass. So basically, Fight Pass is obsolete now. In order to watch these fights, you're going to have to subscribe to ESPN Plus. So for you being a casual fan, do you see yourself signing up for this ESPN Plus service? It's not just going to be UFC. I know, like I was saying, Kobe Bryant has a show on there now called Details, where he kind of breaks down film, you know, from his perspective. And there's other shows on there too. But do you see yourself signing up for ESPN Plus, especially now that the UFC is going to be on there?
Probably not, honestly. I mean, what's the monthly fee with it?
It's $5 a month.
I mean, that's not too bad. I mean, to see some good fights for $5 a month. And I don't like Kobe, personally. I'm a Pistons fan at heart, you know. that's why I don't like Jordan that much either. You know, I'm a Pistons fan, you know. But I like LeBron. There you go. That's weird, right?
Yeah, I agree.
That's definitely weird. We're not going to get into why Brian's better than both of them, but I will say this. That's actually not a bad – don't get me started, Devin. That's actually not a bad deal, you know. If I got into UFC more and it's something that I wanted to look into, I would definitely wouldn't hesitate to do it.
All right, let me – well, Kyle, you see yourself signing up for the ESPN Plus at $5 a month?
It depends on what's going to actually be shown on the real ESPN, though. If they're only going to be showing...
I think it's only going to be on the subscription service.
Like, all the fights are going to be on ESPN, except for, like, pay-per-views and shit?
No.
ESPN Plus, I mean?
Pay-per-views will still be pay-per-views, but everything else is going to be... All these 15 events are going to be on the subscription service only. Not on...
And that's the only place they're going to be doing fights. Like, there's no...
Yep.
Shit. I mean, I'd consider it, but that kind of sucks.
Okay. Well, let me spice it up a little bit for you. So, you know, WWE's contract is going to be up at the end of the year. If WWE and ESPN, which they have a little bit of a relationship right now.
Man, that shit is not about to happen.
That is not going to happen.
Cut it out.
I'm just saying, hey.
Cut they'll go to Fox out. Before they go to ESPN, dude.
Hey, I'm just saying. I'm not saying.
Cut that out, too. They are not leaving USA.
Wait. I'm not saying if they go completely to ESPN. I'm not saying that. But what if they have some content that's only on ESPN, let's say, every quarter? Sort of like how they kind of did like the main event.
I think that would be something called the WWE Network for $9.99.
I was just about to say I have the network. Like,
I think you beat me to it.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
I don't see them partnering with anyone like that to do a monthly deal for a subscription to a network when they have one themselves. You know.
Well, I also didn't see them doing.
See them doing maybe like an ESPN special, maybe like a Saturday night main event, like they did with NBC.
Yeah, that's what
NBC
I mean. Like
is linked to maybe, USA. You know what I mean?
Maybe have it like once a quarter, like four times a year, have a big thing there. You know, yeah, like you said, Saturday night's main event. I could see that. if they added that to the ESPN streaming package, would you then sign up for it at $5 a month?
I mean, I personally think that I would sign up off the UFC alone, but I think with the ESPN being what they are, they kind of talk about pro wrestling here and there, but their demographic and UFC fans are initially going to think, oh, I'm not getting it for that big shit. Of course, wrestling fans are going to get it, and that's a whole different market where millions of people will get that app just for that wrestling show. But then you got guys like me who watch, you know, VIP box and other streaming shit that I shouldn't be watching. Hope I didn't say that too loud and then cut it off. but you know, there are certain events. You know, like I don't have cable. I'm watching SmackDown. You know, I don't have cable. How I got the USA Network on my TV? You know, there's always going to be around. You know, those things. Just like the ESPN app with UFC fights, I'm going to find it on. I'm not going to say the other one. I don't want them to take it down. But I'll find it on the stream. You know what I mean?
Hey, don't tell all your business now.
Yeah, man. I know about 10 of them. They can't cut down all of them.
All right. Hey, a lot of lonely dudes said the same thing about Backpage, but that got shut down.
Hey, they all going to Crush Spot now.
Oh, that's where they at now?
Yeah.
What's that again?
Oh, man. All right, so let's run down the card from this past weekend's UFC 224. It was actually a pretty damn good card. I got to give him credit for that. I know, Tony, you didn't watch, so you can put your input on some of these fighters if you know about them. But first fight on the card was Lyoto Machida versus Mr. Vitor Belfort.
Oh, Machida's back!
Oh, he's back and kicking ass, man. He basically put his foot in Belfort's face, man, and kicked him into retirement.
Dog, that shit was dope. He did the same thing that Anderson Silva did. Was that Vitor that he did it to?
Yes, it was.
Vitor has been the only person I've ever seen that's gotten two front kick knockouts, and Machida did his ass dirty. He hit him in the side of the head and fucking slumped him, and he was out. Like, it was...
Yeah, Machida is that guy, man. I just want to say that. Like, Machida used to be one of my favorites. I don't know what it is about him, but he kind of reminds me of Bruce Lee. I don't know if it's just, like, his demeanor or what, but dude kind of had, like, that Bruce Lee-esque aura. You know what I mean? But he just wasn't as badass as Bruce Lee.
He was trained a lot by his dad, and his dad kind of had that old school mentality like that. So that might be what it comes from. But
Machida's the man. That's all I can say.
Yeah, it was all I'm going to say is it was dope. And Vitor, I hate that you had to go out that way, being it was your quote unquote last fight, but right. You got knocked the fuck out, sir.
Next fight: John Lineker versus Brian Kallir. I've never heard of this guy before in my life.
I never heard of either of them.
John Lineker is a beast, but, dude, they were fucking throwing bombs.
Yes, sir. And Lineker won by KO.
Can I just say, I don't know if you thought it, too, because you were watching it with me, Devin. I thought, like, so Lineker about had him knocked the fuck out in the first round.
Yep.
He got tired in the second round, and I'm like, man, this bald-head motherfucker is going to come back and knock him out. And he got lucky because the other guy got tired, but... That was a fun fight to watch because they beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah, basically it was whose cardio is the best in this one, man? Who can last the longest? But it was a really good fight.
It looked like some shit you see in high school where they basically just throw until somebody falls.
Pretty much. All right, third fight, which was a very controversial fight.
Oh, jeez.
Mackenzie Dern versus Detroit area's own ABC Amanda Bobby Cooper, who hopefully will be on the show one day. And I know she'll have a lot to say about this because her opponent missed weight by 7 pounds, which.
Wow. Yeah.
And then wouldn't even attempt to go try to lose the weight when she had the hour.
I mean, at that point, you know, an hour to lose 7 pounds.
You 7 pounds, though. You ain't going to lose no 7 pounds. Well,
I agree. But my thing is this, though. Like, if you're that far over.
You didn't try.
You weren't doing that shit, like taking that shit serious enough, because I could see if you were like 2, maybe 3 pounds, but 7?
Shave your head.
I've watched people do that. Even females do that. On The Ultimate Fighter, I watched Sajara Eubanks did that, and she cut off her fucking dread so she could fight.
Shoot, Ronda's done that before. in I think she did it in the Olympics one year.
I mean, I don't know, man. To me, I just think that that's – I just think that that's a disrespectful thing. But as far as the fight goes, I have to give Dern credit because I thought if there was one area that Amanda had an advantage, it's that Amanda's a natural boxer and has won golden gloves and things like that. And Mackenzie caught her with a nasty-ass overhand and put her on her ass.
Yeah, and choked her out. But, I mean, hopefully Amanda bounces back from this. Hopefully the UFC kind of looks at this like, thank you for taking the fight. We're not going to look at this as, you know.
Oh, they will, because that takes balls to do that, and at least that shows them that she'll fight.
Right. All right, next fight. And we're going to speed through these last two so we can get to some wrestling.
Was my wife Gambino on there, man?
Was who?
My wife Gambino. Did she do UFC?
Who the hell is that?
Y'all know who Ashley Gambino is? See, I know some MMA shit y'all don't know, huh?
Nah, I don't know who that
apparently.
Is.
Apparently.
Man.
Damn, y'all got me fucked up.
Man,
That's like one of y'all saying, hey, you heard of Cyrus Satin, and I'm like, who is that? Like, he a wrestler at XFCW. How the fuck am I not supposed to know who that is? Y'all fucking up.
Hey, man.
Apparently, I've got to do some research when I get out of here.
Do y'all know who Buddy Hanlon is, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's hype him up coming up. Spoiler alert.
Uh-oh. All right, let's run through these last two fights real quick. Kevin Gastelum versus Jacare Souza. This was robbery. Souza won that fight.
I thought the same thing, honestly. But I like both guys, though, so I was actually excited for this fight. So,
but. Gastelum got the split decision. And then Amanda Nunes versus Raquel Pennington. She just went out there, did work, man.
I would be shocked if Raquel Pennington can walk right now.
And then, yeah, they seemed to be pretty cool afterwards, man. They, you know, I think Nunes trained with her, with Raquel's girlfriend, Tisha Torres. And they, from what I heard, you know, they went out and had a beer afterwards. That's pretty cool. Did you?
Sometimes you gotta drink beer to get your ass whooped.
Wait, what was that? You broke up a little bit.
Sometimes you gotta drink some beer after getting your ass whooped. You know.
I mean, that's amazing to me that you can sit there and, you know, beat somebody's face in and then have a beer with them afterwards.
I mean, unless you've got someone that's talking a lot of shit before a fight, a lot of times, man, like
it's all love.
It. You know? I mean. Don't get me wrong.
That's one thing that I can't do. I can't have somebody beat my ass and then shake their hand. I can't. That's why I can be a fighter. Like, I can't have you knock me the fuck out. You done beat my ass on national TV, and I'm going to get up and shake your hand? Fuck that. I'm sorry. Y'all miss me with that one. I mean, y'all must be better people than I am, because I ain't letting nobody beat my ass so I can get up and shake their hand. Fuck that.
Man. All right. Let's take a quick break and let's come back and let's talk a little bit of little wrestling. And we're going to talk about what you were up to this weekend. We're going to talk about what you were up to this weekend, Mr. Thunder.
Oh, me?
Yeah, you.
I did some stuff?
Yeah, you did stuff. But
oh, man, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about that right after this break. And we are back, and we're going
to
talk.
And that's when I told her, man, that I had to ask her at that point how much she cost.
That's Mr. Tony Thunder, Mr. Kyle Collison.
Wait, what happened? Are we back? Yeah. Oh, shit, man. Why you ain't tell me?
I kind of did.
Oh, man.
But we're back, and we're going to talk a little bit of wrestling. I don't know, man. I think we should leave the Federation, as you call it, Tony. We should leave the Federation out of it right now. Let's just talk about...
leave the Fed alone?
Yeah, man. Cause
even leading up to money.
But we got briefcases coming up. I
was about to say.
We got a couple weeks until that. So let's talk about Ring of Honor, man. Ring of Honor had their War of the Worlds tour. I think it was a 4-city tour. And they just happened to stop in a little town called Royal Oak. And I know I was there. What about you, Kyle? Were you there?
I may just have been in the same place.
Uh-huh. And Mr. Thunder, I think you were there as well, sir.
I don't think I was there. I don't remember being there.
I
don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I saw some weird dude in a tight black shirt and an afro, man. I thought it was you. My bad.
That wasn't Tony Thunder.
Oh, that was Larry Lightning. My bad.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that was Lance Lightning. And see, he had to break up some shit with Japanese tiddlywinks, and Cody Rhodes was there, and I had to break some shit up. Man. Shit was going down. No, man, I had the honor and privilege, the honor. See, that's the word I wanted to throw out there.
I see what you did
I had
there.
The honor, play on words. I had the honor of doing some crew work for Ring of Honor when they were with the World of Worlds, man. It was a crazy, humbling experience, man. Like, I got more motivated doing crew work than I have being in the ring going against dudes. And I think the main thing that really lit my fire was being in the ring with Cody Takahashi during a match. Like, that shit just got me pumped. I was like, fuck, I want to drop Cody right now. Fuck. So, like, now I'm motivated to get to that point where I'm in the ring against Cody, whooping his ass. Like, it has to happen.
Man, is that like a bucket list thing for you now, man, to have a match with Cody?
It is now on the list of buckets. And I don't know if the viewers noticed, but I have a bucket list in wrestling. And I usually do one every year, or I do like a Cody list, so to speak.
Right.
Where I put down certain promotions, certain things I want to do. And every year, I clear that list. Last year, I think it was wrestling with two new promotions, turned down a promoter that once said no to me, win a championship, and like two or three other things, and I did it. This year, I haven't achieved all of them. The ones I have achieved, I forgot what they were. I got them written down. I always write my goals down. But the two that I'm missing, that I know I'm missing, is wrestling on the West Coast, which will be done this weekend in Phoenix, Arizona. Cutting that off the list. And second thing is wrestling a former WWE talent. So those are the two things I got to do this year. And one of them will be completed this weekend. And I still got like 6-7 months left to complete this shit. So I'm on a roll, man.
That's what's up, man. But you want to talk about other than, breaking up. Now, let's talk about that for a second, man. That was classic. So for those of you that watch New Japan and Ring of Honor, Takahashi, one of my favorite wrestlers, Los Ingranables de Japón representative, his friend Daryl, I think it's Daryl Jr. now.
Yep.
See, what happened was he saw Tony Thunder wrestle with Mr. Tiddlywinks and said, I'm going to make Mr. Tiddlywinks a cat. And then he went and got a stuffed animal cat and made Mr. Tiddlywinks a cat. And I was doing that shit in 2012. I don't do it no more, though. So there's that. But, yeah, it's Daryl Jr. now.
Daryl Jr. And then the Bucks and Cody Rhodes had... Was it Bernard the Business Bear?
Yeah. Who we met while
it's
we were
Bernard
there too.
Now. It's not Barry, it's Bernard.
And I got Bernard the Business Bear autograph, man. That was a great moment for me, man.
Did he fix his tie enough for you?
Yes, he did. Yeah, he fixed his tie several times. But Bernard the Business Bear and Daryl got into a little kerfuffle, and you had to break it up, man.
Man, they was about to scrap it out, and I honestly was like, yo, man, this is getting a little too out of hand. You know, I don't know if you noticed, but I was the first one to jump in there like, yo, this is too much.
Yes, you were.
You know, I saw Cody holding back Bernard, and I saw Takahashi holding back Daryl Jr. I said, they need help holding these guys back. This is way too much. So I slid in there, and I held back Bernard, and he's a strong bear. He is a strong bear, I'll tell you that. And it took about 7 of us to hold him back, man. He was a tough bear, man. He was strong. And, it was crazy, man. It was, like I said, it was an humbling experience, man. I almost got smacked by Hangman Page, but I got away just in time. man, it was crazy.
Man.
I mean, do y'all have any questions about what happened? Or, we can get into some shit.
Okay.
I can say this. This may even upset y'all, so sorry if y'all didn't notice or y'all had no idea about this. But Jay Lethal was there.
Yeah, I heard he got hurt like the night before, and he got replaced by Sonata in that four-way match.
He wasn't hurt to me, but he was there. And he wrestled the next night in Chicago, so I don't know what's up with that. But dude was there, and he was a cool dude. As y'all know, Colt Cabana was there. Naito, your boy Naito.
I got a Naito autograph. I was going to get a picture with him, but the line was a little bit long, and I chose to get a Marty Scurll. But, yeah, man, honestly, man, like,
it was a pretty stacked card for to be a quote unquote live.
That's what
show.
I said.
You know, I know they don't like to say live show or house show. I know they don't like to use that word, but to be a live show, man, that card was stacked.
And it was broadcast on Honor Club as well. So, I mean, it was all over the internets,
all over the interwebs.
Yeah, the face spaces and the book grams that. Yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But, I guess my question is, like, you know, did you, besides Jay Lethal, did you get to, like, rub any elbows with any of the guys and, you know, chit-chat with them, you know, have conversations, get some advice from any of the guys?
Yeah, I mean, me and Shane Taylor, a former guest of the show, we sat back there, we talked about hip-hop for a minute. He thinks that the three greatest rappers of all time that cannot be touched by anyone is KRS, DMX, and Rakim, I think. So we had a good conversation about that and kind of went a little back and forth. That was a good one. Talking to Cody about what was going on before actually going out there, he's like, hey, man, in case things get crazy, I can't pull back the curtain too much, but I will say Cody came up to me and said, hey, man, if things get a little bit too crazy, you know, I might need y'all help out there because, you know, Bernard got a problem with Daryl Jr. I was like, yo, what's the problem? He's like, yo, he wanted to throw hands with him. I'm like, why are you trying to throw hands with Daryl Jr.? He's like, he don't like him like that. He's like, he bet not get in the ring or it's going to go down.
He wanted to put the paws on.
Somehow got in the ring, so.
So he wanted to put the, tongue tied.
He
wanted to put the paws on him. There you go. Yeah.
Okay, Scrappy.
Man.
Yeah, man. Colt Cabana. Emma randomly just fucking, I couldn't tell who she was at first. She's coming up to me and I kind of squint my eyes to look at her, and she's like, hi. And I'm like, hi. And I'm like, oh, shit, that was just Edwin just walking right past me, you know? got to chat it up with Buddy Hanlon and Rhett Titus for a while. You know, they're always paying their dues to the business and helping the guys and crew when they didn't really have to. They were helping the crew. Cheeseburger, man, that motherfucker was cool, man. got to chit-chat with him for a while, and we had to grab some of the New Japan guys got there a little early. They forgot their bags, so I helped them grab a couple bags from the guys that they left in his car and stuff. And it seemed like as soon as we were grabbing the bags to go right back into the building, that's when Marty Scurll, Shane Taylor, and you remember who was with them? It was a car with Shane Taylor, Marty Scurll, and somebody. I think it was Hangman Page that was with them. And, like, I just pulled up, and they're just all like, hey, what's going on? And I'm like, hey, what's up? It's just kind of weird, you know, like, to have those guys come up to you like, oh, hey, I know you. And it's like, no, you don't, but thank you. That feels good, you know? Only person who can really say that he did know me was Shane Taylor. He just walked up. Well, I've met Buddy Hanlon here and there doing shows and stuff. I think two or three other people I knew from doing shows here and there. But Shane Taylor was the only guy that's ROH big that I know I could just walk up to like, what's up, bro? And like kick it with him and stuff. So
hey Tony,
yeah,
question for you, man. And kind of like my girl, she kind of asked me this question. I was wondering the same thing. Maybe you can shed some light on this. And Kyle, if you got a question about Ring of Honor, you know, you can ask that next. I know like in WWE, you know, like John Cena has like his tour bus. How do Ring of Honor wrestlers travel from town to town? Do they have like, do any of them have like service, or they just pile into the car and head from town to town?
You know what's crazy? I'm gonna tell y'all this. I didn't want to put this out there, but before the show, this is maybe like I say like maybe an hour before the show. Your boy Naito was walking around the area, like the whole neighborhood, just walking around, like he didn't care, like he didn't like. Like, hey, let me just walk around, find something to eat. I'm going to walk to the store. And, like, he literally, like, walked past, like, a bunch of people, and like he took a couple of pictures with people who knew who he was and stuff. But he was just out there walking around like it was no big deal. Most of the guys that I seen, they were in rentals. And oh, there's another crazy thing. I don't know what the fuck kind of deal ROH got with Uber, but Jay Lethal was like, "Oh, I guess I'm not working tonight. I'm gonna head to Chicago." And Cabana said something to him like, "Yeah, blah blah blah." He's like, "No, I'm gonna use the Uber. It's only $30." What the fuck?
To get to Chicago?
Yeah, from Warrior Oak to Chicago was $30.
Wow.
So, all right. I don't know what kind of benefits or packages they got with these companies or whatnot, but they all have really nice fucking rental cars, and I guess Uber is one of their things, and I guess it's hella fucking cheap for them. So, man, there's that too.
Kyle, you got anything, man?
The only thing I was going to say, man, I mean, I don't really have many questions. I was just going to say that overall, I thought it was a pretty dope show. And I have to say, you know, like you were saying, we got to meet Cody and Bernard the Bear, Business Bear, and Marty Scurll and the Bucks. And, like, all those guys couldn't have been any more cool. Like, all were cool as fuck. Just yeah. Like, you know, hey, man, how'd you like the show? Like, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, they all of them did drops for us too, like didn't give two shits and was like, you know what, it's cool, dude, we'll help you out, no problem. Like, I just thought that it was cool because, like, it's always hit or miss when you meet some of them guys, like whether they're actually going to be cool. Yeah. And I thought that was real cool. And the other thing that I thought was funny as shit was what happened at the end of the show they did the Being the Elite thing and they had set it up so could propose to his girl. And I was laughing my ass off. So they blindfold this chick and spin her around, and Hangman Page is like, "Yo, hit the hang down on Hangman."
Hitting the knob on Hangman. Yeah, yeah. Or something like that.
And she's walking right towards him, and he's like, "No, I need you to turn around." And old boy that was going to propose, he's standing there with his belt on, like thrusting his shit out. And I'm like, what the hell is about to happen right now? Like, for real though, wasn't he? He was standing there with his hands on his hips like, hey though, how you doing? But I gotta say, that was a pretty dope ass way to be able to propose, and that was cool that like the whole Bullet Club was just cool as shit about it. Like, it was like, yo, it was cool. So yeah, we talked to the guy after the show.
Yeah, I asked the guy like, how did he get that done? I mean, I guess he met Hangman at a show in Mount Pleasant, and he asked him, like, could you help me propose to my girlfriend? And Hangman was like, well, would you do it for the show? And he was like, well, shit, yeah. So, yeah, you know, congratulations to them, man. Hopefully, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Everything works out for that crazy
couple. Devin, stop putting bad juju on it, talking about it's going to be over in 2 years, motherfucker.
See,
oh, wow.
See, first, he did right after it happened. He goes, I bet it ain't going to last more than 2 or 3 years. I was like, why you got to put that bad,
bad shit? Fucked up. Devin, damn. Well, you know, Devin had a lot of podcast juice that night, and
I might have had a little bit too.
he was speaking from the heart.
True, but real quick, we got a few minutes. Let's talk. We got 5 minutes. Let's talk about why I'm pissed off right now.
Because Ronda Rousey got a title shot.
Pretty much. He was angry about that as soon as we saw it at the viewing yesterday.
But that's not what I was going to talk about. I'm pissed off because the Young Bucks and Cody Rhodes and the Bullet Club is very, very popular because they sold out the all-in tickets in less than 30 minutes, and I couldn't get none.
I thought it was 3 minutes. 10,000 seats in 3 minutes?
The number they put out was 29 minutes and 30 seconds.
Damn.
Dude.
That's huge. Well, you know, I think a lot of those sales is based on speculations of who might. And who might not be there? You know what I mean?
Well, to be honest with you, me, Kyle, and our mutual friend Ed, we were going to go, and we just wanted to go because I just thought it was going to be a great idea. And then when I started seeing some of the guests they were going to have for the convention that they were putting on as well, I'm like, I have to go to this, man. Bruce Pritchard and Conrad is going to be there. Bischoff. Hall and Nash, X-Pac, comedian that I'm very, very much a fan of, Ron Funches, he's going to be there.
Sam Roberts.
Sam Roberts going to be there? Wow. Sam Roberts. I mean,
I don't know if he's going to be there, but I know he'll be at All In for sure.
Right. But, I mean, just the fact that all these independent wrestlers that I like was putting on this show, and it's close to my town, like I had to go to this, and I'm just pissed off I'm not going, man. But congratulations to them for selling that shit out in 30 minutes and rubbing it in Dave Meltzer's face.
Huge. I don't know if y'all know how big that is.
Oh, that's why I had to be a part of it, man. I wanted to be there.
That's huge for professional wrestling. Like, for professional wrestling itself, like, Ring of Honor's biggest shows of the year at the biggest venues don't sell out like that.
Right.
Like, this is a spectacle of itself. And of course, he's got to do this every year now. He can't just have a one-time deal where it's like, oh, yeah, you know, we're going to do All In, and that's it. Now we're all out. You know, I'm gonna make a promo picture of me sitting there looking sad, and instead of saying All In, it's gonna say Left Out, just to let him know how I feel about not being a part of this event. But no, man, this is huge. I mean, this is a step outside. You can't really call this an independent event. You can't call this an indie show. This is huge. This is fucking big, not only for professional wrestling.
I mean, and look
for the culture of wrestling itself, and like for the next level of where the independents are going to go. You know,
well, that what you said, like, for real, man. Because if you really think about it, even though obviously Cody was in WWE at one point, but for a bunch of guys who are not with the WWE to do some shit like that, and the names they got on this card. I mean, outside of WWE, I mean, this fucking thing is loaded. I mean, they just put Rey Mysterio on at the damn press conference.
Right.
So it's like, I don't know, man. That's going to be fucking sick to be at. Hopefully, by the time September gets here, we can figure out a way to get some tickets.
Right.
Right now, I can't afford to give them.
I'm pretty sure there'll be, like, radio stations or giveaways or something like that. And then again, you always got scalpers at the door. I know that at the show that I was at this past week in Royal Oak, when they were setting up chairs, they were like, oh, well, we got so many extra chairs and the show is sold out. They were like, oh, don't worry, people are going to come. So, you know, like, there was always that too. So, like, even when places say they're sold out, like, you get WrestleMania that's sold out in every year 12 minutes, 15 minutes, an hour, you know, like, fucking 70,000 seats sold out in an hour. But there's a lot of those seats that are purchased by radio stations and American Express and, you know, stuff like that too. So,
right. Well, that's going to have to be the last one on that. We got to wrap this thing up, man. But Mr. Thunder, why don't you go ahead and throw out your social medias and all that good stuff real quick.
Yo, I'm Tony Thunder.
I hate you so much, man.
RentAWrestleRing.com.
You know, all right, WinWrestlingRing.com. Hit Tony Thunder up on all his social media. Kyle.
You can find me at Detroit Knockout on Twitter and Instagram, Kyle Collison on Facebook. And yeah, be out on the lookout for all these local MMA fights you got coming. Manib's fighting June 9th. We've got Drew Murray fighting June 15th for the WXC and shit. Whole bunch
That's
of stuff.
That's a Friday.
On. Yeah, a bunch of them.
All right, and you can hit me up on Twitter at Devin63. That's DevinThe63. You can hit me up on Instagram at AllSteak No Sizzle. That's one word. If you're looking for a car, go to SouthfieldQualityCars.com. And when you find you a car on their website and you go in to make your purchase, use the reference code 19309. That's 19309. And you will receive $500 off of your vehicle.
Yeah, use 1939.
Fuck you. with all that being said, all
that's
that good
not nice, Gray. That's not very nice.
Fuck all you hoes. I'm out of here. Till next time.
Why they gotta be hoes? Why they gotta be hoes?
Peace.
Dang it.
And fuck your couch.
I hung up on Tony and Kyle said it.
I don't even say it no more.
I didn't even get a chance to say it because Devin fucked me over, but.